Welcome to the Simple Life podcast, where I take complex health and fitness ideas and break them down into bite-sized, actionable behaviors to simplify your routine so that you can reap the rewards and live a healthy and fulfilled life. I'll also be talking to experts on various topics to broaden your horizons and make sure that you are up to date and across all of the ways that you can improve your fitness, nutrition, and stress management practices. Let's get into it. Welcome to another episode of The Simple Life, where today I am talking to longtime client and friend Rani Merkel. Now, in particular, Rani Merkel's 2023 has been nothing short of quite transformational. So we started working together on her nutrition, and since then, in the 4 months, we've worked together for 3 months, and in the 1 month after, she has now lost 14 kilos and over 80 centimeters from her body measurements, which is actually outstanding. Rani is a mother of three, and is now basically looking forward to the rest of 2023, starting to get stronger, get fitter, get back into running. Her journey is nothing short of remarkable, I think quite inspiring for people who have similar transformation goals. So without further ado, here is Rani. Enjoy.
Oh, hey.
All right. Absolutely no prep necessary, Rani. We've coordinated naps with toddlers and newborns. We're ready to roll.
Excellent. Let's get this started.
You know, I was just going through your metrics before on True Coach, because I was like, all right, well, I want to get an idea of the overall picture. And it's now up to 14 kgs and 82 centimeters in total since February.
Wow.
Because in my mind, it was like the start of the year, but I forget that you're away camping and, you know, just school holiday stuff. So it wasn't actually until February that we got started. And I was like, that's 4 months.
That 4 months. Wow. What a massive 4 months. Yeah.
March, April, May. Absolutely. Yeah. So that's basically what I wanted to talk about today, I guess, is just the overall year and how you found it. Because I'm a big fan of the saying success leaves clues, right? So I'm sure there's a bunch of little nuggets that you may not necessarily feel are that drastic or that massive, but that a lot of people listening, in particular mums with a similar goal, might be able to latch onto and, you know, easily see that as something that they can implement in their own life. So before we get started, tell me a little bit about yourself and I guess your current lifestyle situation.
I'm on mat leave at the moment, which is certainly a different pace, which is nice. Yeah. And I've got a 6-year-old, 4-year-old, and Marcel's now 8 months. So yeah, he must have been 4 months when we started the nutrition program.
Yep.
Yeah.
So mat leave at the moment, which means a little bit more time, but also a little bit more time to procrastinate. And sometimes there's pros and cons to all situations, right? Like I often speak to people about if you're busier, it can actually be helpful because it means you've got less time to kind of weigh up decisions or, you know, think about stuff. But in some cases, it does give you more opportunity to focus on, you know, the different aspects of your life, especially if you've got a good sleeper, which from what you've told me, you know, bless Marcel's little socks, is not always the case.
He started off strong when he was a newborn, and it's just progressively he's changed his attitude to sleep a little, but yeah, we'll get there. Like there's always, you know, an ending where they start sleeping one day, hopefully.
I believe the correct term is a leap. Is that right?
Yeah, a leap that just keeps leaping.
It's a long leap.
Yeah. Look, his life may just be a sleep regression for now, but we'll get there.
Yeah. So when I was trying to just, you know, take some notes on where we've been, what we've been through in regards to your fitness journey, you like, and in particular nutrition, because you had been training with us for a few years. I think, was it just after 2020 lockdown that you started training with us in the gym?
Yeah, I was thinking about that today as well. I think it was early 2021.
Yeah. Okay. So after 2020, yeah. Early 2021.
Yes.
Yep.
And
And
then we went into lockdown again. But I did keep up those online ones. I can't say I loved it, but I did it.
no, online training not for everyone, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You got to do what you got to do. Just had to be
Yeah.
fluid and flexible.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah, and then I came back to the gym once you opened again and started feeling a lot fitter, and then it must have been, yeah, I got became pregnant again, just as I really felt I was starting to run again and really starting to feel stronger, and then got pregnant.
The funny part about you getting pregnant, and it, actually, I was when I was walking out of Coles with Harry today, I reminded me is like you had asked me a few questions about nutrition coaching before, and obviously, I didn't know you were pregnant yet, and I was like, oh, Rani would crush it. This would be a great idea, and I was all excited telling you about it, and then like the next week, you were like, oh, I'm pregnant. And I'm like, why didn't you tell me? I was getting all jazzed up, being like, oh, Rani's into it. This would be awesome. She'd kill it. Then I was like, ah, what a waste of time.
No,
She
I yeah,
didn't
I
have the
do
best
remember
time.
I did talk to you about it just before I fell pregnant, and I was quite pumped for it, and I was looking at, trying to lose a bit more weight, and then I got pregnant. I remember feeling really morning, like starting to feel really queasy, and you were like, "Oh, have you weighed yourself recently?" And you kept asking questions, and then I came to you the next week. That's right.
Like
Sorry.
early days pregnant. I'm like, oh yeah, I do remember that. So we
Yeah.
parked it. We parked your nutrition coaching journey then because, like changing stuff while you're pregnant is not always the best idea. Just to keep everything consistent, perfect. And you delivered a healthy baby boy. I remember you training, was it up until maybe 35, 36 weeks around
It
then? Like,
was actually 37.
Thirty-seven, yeah.
I
So it's
think, and
almost
then I
all the
just went
way.
enough. And I must say, I would never have imagined that I would have trained that long. But thanks to your subs, all the subs I needed by the end, I
Yeah,
was
you were the
just
sub
like,
queen. Yeah.
any movement is good movement. A lot of bike time, but it was really good, I think, mentally as well to keep going. It just felt like I was still moving a few times a week. So,
Yeah, for
yeah.
sure. And just to keep the routine. I mean, it's a long time that you're pregnant. 10 months is a significant time of the year, and everyone's experience is obviously totally different. So to have any kind of expectation on what you might think will happen can often lead to a little bit of frustration. But from my recollections, you handled it perfectly. Like you were planning on training for as long as you could, and then when you knew you were just like, no, I think I'm done. And as soon as you have that thought, then it probably is best to just, like, what's the point? Like, you don't really need
Yeah.
it. Like, unless you can adjust your intensity or, you can adjust a bit of this. But yeah, I reckon you nailed it.
Thanks, Ben.
So we went through Marcel was brought into the world. And then what was that? Was that August? Was he an August baby or
Oh, September, end of September.
September
Yeah.
baby? Postnatal, I'm just trying to think how many weeks you were when you restarted up training. Was it relatively, it
I
would have been
was.
relatively soon.
He was about 7 weeks.
7 weeks.
Because I was pretty keen to get back in, but I did hurt my knee not
That's
long after he was born. I think your body's whatever's going on with all those muscles and everything felt a bit wrong. So I did, yeah, I kind of twisted my knee and really hurt it. So that I think I came back very
Yeah, I remember
slowly.
you had a bit of physio on the knee, and then we had to do
Yeah.
some hubs and stuff like that. But yeah, I reckon it was November that
Yeah,
you
that sounds about right.
trained up
Yeah.
until Christmas, and I got hassled by the girls as to why there were no inflatables at the Christmas
Yeah.
workout. I distinctly remember you being there for that. Because
They're not going to forgive you for that. They
no,
really want that big jumping castle back up at the
it's like
Christmas
the most
party.
fun gym of all time.
Yeah.
And then, so we had again spoken about nutrition after that. You'd obviously maintained your interest. And one thing that you specifically mentioned to me, and obviously we knew you were going away, so we decided to pick things up again when you got back, when school went back and everything routine-wise kind of went back to normal. But you had mentioned, as we just transition into that
nutrition specific sort of topic, that you'd picked up some habits that you weren't really pleased with over the course of the pregnancy and just had struggled to kick them a little bit after having Marcel. And what were some of those?
Some of those, yeah, habits that just felt so good in pregnancy but were not maintainable full time. Let's just say kettle chili chips were a big thing. Chocolate as well. And like every night, just kind good of because I eat, we eat generally, you know, about 6 o'clock with the kids, and then the kids would go to bed and it would just be like, yeah, snack time.
It was on. Yeah. Netflix and kettle chips.
Yeah, pretty much. That was the new, pregnancy and newborn stage.
Yeah. And it was obviously something that you knew. And I think this is where most people find it to be a little bit of a hurdle, is they kind of know what they're doing maybe isn't optimal. It's like, I know I'm doing this, but I'm kind of not quite sure how to change it, if I should just cut it out or if I should focus elsewhere and displace it a little bit. Like, yeah. Were you kind of stuck in that point of like, how do I fix this?
Yeah, I was. And because it was also things like, I've never been a juice drinker, but during pregnancy, I could not get enough orange juice. And it's, you know, and then that just kind of flowed on.
Yeah.
Because when you've got a newborn, you're just kind of so craving anything to give you energy. So it just, everything flowed on. And then I was like, this isn't sustainable long term.
Yep.
But yeah, I didn't know where to go, what to do. Yep. So,
and I think it is important to note that, like, especially late months, the first trimester can be quite rough, and then you can tend to hit like a little bit of a, a cruisier patch, far be it for me to say I've never been pregnant. But, and then towards the end, you hit that really uncomfortable phase. And, as I said, everyone's experience is completely different. But to really focus on your nutrition habits then is like, I feel like a lot of the time, and I encourage people to do this, it's energy that you can best spend elsewhere. Like if you want some kettle chips and most of your nutrition is pretty good, like just enjoy some chips. Like it's no big deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think especially when, it's just stress that you don't necessarily need to have at that point.
Yeah. It was definitely like during pregnancy. I don't know what other people like, but I'm like, if I want something, I need it, when it comes absolutely. To cravings. Yeah. And so it's not, it wasn't a time to try and work on any of it.
And the exact same thing applies postnatally too. When we're underslept, we're recovering from such a big ordeal, like a childbirth is a huge, it has a huge impact on the body. And then it's like, maybe I don't necessarily need to put any more energy into my nutrition at that stage, apart from just trying to focus on eating healthy meals. And if there's a little bit of colouring outside the lines that comes with that, that's totally okay. It's something that you can address down the line once you have a little bit more energy and consistency in regards to sleep mainly.
Yeah, it always comes down to sleep. But, Feb, starting it in Feb at the start of the school year, like everything, it was really good timing, I think. Like I was, by that point, I was motivated to work on a few things. And
You had that extra scope. It's like, I've got that extra energy that I can focus on and, dedicate to making some changes.
Yes. Yeah. And the craziness of Christmas and all of that was done and dusted. So, it felt more settled.
Before we started working together, what were some of your, I guess, not necessarily reservations, but was there anything that you were worried about?
I wasn't really sure what to expect. I'd read a few, like you put up the posts on Facebook about past clients that have done it, but I still, I wasn't quite sure what to do. What to expect. So I wasn't too worried, probably because I just had no expectations, keeping it real. No expectations means no letdowns or, I just wasn't sure. I don't think I could have ever, I never expected the weight loss that I have had. Like I was kind of more like, okay, if I could lose a few kilos, that would be amazing in the next kind of, and I was more even putting it, by the time Marcel's won, it would be nice to be off 5 kilos or something like that. Yeah.
And there is a bit of a fine line when you're starting to set those goals or expectations, is like, you don't want to make it too aggressive where there's too much pressure on being perfect all of the time or really close to perfect, but it also needs to be, you know, urgent enough where it's like, well, I still have to make some change. I still have to be diligent with it. But honestly, it depends on the person as to how, you know, which path might best work. Like, it's the same as the, you know, the old school project. Like, I don't know about you, and I can imagine what your answer might be, but when I was a kid and a project was due in 10 weeks, like, I was resting for 9 weeks. I was like,
that's
a 1 week job at the end. Whereas I think, and you know, and you can answer for me, but you were probably that person who did 20 minutes a day and just sort of like slowly ticked it off. Am I right or wrong?
Oh, no, I left it probably maybe till the last few weeks, and then I do a little bit here and there and procrastinate. I'm definitely a procrastinator, but
I don't know if you're a procrastinator. I think you might be a little bit harsh on yourself. But I've just opened up your notes from our first appointment. And you know, like, as we were having a chat, I was just making some notes on what I felt were the important parts, and I think a lot of people will be able to relate to this. So you had a weight loss goal of roughly size 10 or 65 kgs, whichever came first. And are you a size 10 now?
Well, I'm wearing size 12 jeans today, but I haven't tried size 10 on again yet. I think it's still all sinking in. Like, I've only just started going through my old clothes going, oh, I can actually fit this. But yeah, I would have. Oh, that's right. This was my goal, but I thought it was by the time Marcel was one.
Well, you've got time anyway. in capitals here, I've got gain control, which and the note under that was that you felt you were a little bit carbohydrate heavy. You had sugar cravings, and you were struggling to gain control over those.
Yes, the sugar cravings were bad. Like, yeah, and also the snacking. I used to just snack with the kids all the time. Like,
you know my thoughts on snacking, but it was something that we addressed pretty quickly. And actually, like that, I would say of all the changes that we made, and we were pretty steady with implementing stuff. Like, there wasn't too many things that you really struggled with. The snacking and the focusing on the meals, I think, was the biggest change.
That was the biggest and the best, because I like food. So, you know, and that's why I was like, oh, am I going to have to, you know, start really cutting down and live on a lettuce leaf or something? And
yeah, have to be restrictive.
Yeah. And because when I was in my 20s, I was like, I'd go through stages and just have a lot of coffee and eat hardly anything. And I was quite slim. And I was like, I don't think I can go back to that, because I do like food. And that was the biggest change, though, because cutting out the snacks and just making really good quality three meals a day, and it made a huge difference. Like, it was,
yeah. And I mean, a lot of clients who have worked with me or who have read or listened to any of my content before getting ready to roll their eyes, but we focused on implementing protein pretty early. As a vegetarian, obviously it was something that you probably struggled with, to find not only options, you know, and we explored a few options, like it was the Eco Organics pasta and tofu and tempeh and stuff like that and eggs. But I think that was week 2 and 3. Like, after we did your initial food diet, it was like straight away, here's an easy fix when it comes to the snacking. Yeah. And like, the way I like to focus on cutting down snacking is pretty much by displacing it by focusing on the meals. So padding out substantial meals with a good serve of protein, a good serve of carbohydrates and vegetables means that we're not having that, you know, that blood sugar spike and then crash and then reaching for stuff at 11 a.m. at 3 p.m. Like, did you see that in your own, you know, like, lifestyle, is that actually focusing on including protein at breakfast in particular is a big one, and then just the trickle down effect that had over the course of the day?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It was huge. The first week was probably a bit hard, because it was like changing the habit of just having biscuits with the kids at afternoon tea, you know, that type of thing. But then once I kind of broke off that habit and then, yeah, put more, like I thought I was eating healthy because I'd have, you know, an egg salad wrap. But then when we started talking about protein, I was like, oh, I'm hardly having like one egg's not enough protein. And yeah, and then once I started filling out my meals with more protein, and I'd seen all your posts about it, but you don't quite, let's face it, I kind of knew protein was good, but
yep.
I didn't quite understand how much protein or anything like that. And so all of a sudden I wasn't craving food in the afternoon. Like it just, I wasn't looking at the cupboard. I wasn't even, because I wasn't hungry because I had a proper lunch or and breakfast. Yeah.
I would say that's one of the biggest mistakes that people make is they see, you know, they hear me talk about snacking and they go straight to the point of, okay, well, I'm just going to cut out snacks.
Yes.
And it's like, I understand what you mean and you've got your heart kind of in the right place and, you know, it will be effective for you if the fat loss is the goal. But if you don't then pad out your meals, you're just going to be starving. You know, like if you had been having one egg salad in a wrap, we're talking about, you know, a 200, 300 calorie meal when in reality we kind of needed 500, 600 and you just would have been famished by 3 p.m. and then reaching for absolutely anything.
Yeah, and I thought I was healthy because that was the lunch I was having when in actual fact. And then when we kind of turned everything around, I was like having this delicious sour bread, you know, sourdough bread and really feeling delicious lunches. And I was like, oh, this is better. And then I wasn't feeling like the need to have the kettle chips at the end of the day, you know, like it's,
Yeah, I think one thing that helps, like I'll talk about, you know, like it giving people proof of concept is like by consistently measuring your progress, you can sort of see it's like, oh, okay. Like I didn't feel that hungry. I felt like I was eating substantial meals and I've dropped, you know, 800 grams or I've lost a couple of centimeters off my navel. And all that does is just build belief that it's like, oh, okay, I can do this. Like if I had a dollar for every time someone said, oh, I'm trying to eat healthy, I'm trying to do this. And I'm like, well, have you seen any progress actually doing that? And they're like, oh, I haven't taken measurements or I haven't taken a picture or I haven't jumped on the scales or anything. It's like, we've got no idea because otherwise we wake up and it's like, ugh, I feel bad. It mustn't be working or I'm a little bit bloated or, you know, like we just get led and dictated to by emotions compared to facts. Like I was actually remembering the times where we would do your measurements on a Thursday and you'd come in and be like, nah, not this week. It just hasn't been this week. You know, like I haven't nailed it. I had a social occasion or even a couple of times that you went on holidays. You know, you went to Castle Maine for nearly a week or maybe just
under. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. And then, that was really hard to get the
was it Macedon as well? Like is Macedon or would it?
We went to Inverloch one time.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Nowhere near Macedon. Inverloch.
Yeah, no. Macedon's on your mind. Castlemaine's kind of on the way.
Kind of on the way.
Yeah, I used to dread, like, because you were like, we've got to measure progress. And I used to dread it. And I remember when you said, take pictures. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is horrible. But I did it because I'm obedient to an extent.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, but now I'm just so glad, you know, and the measurement days, it was a Thursday and I used to dread it. But then I started seeing results and I was like, and then I got to the point where I was looking forward to the Thursdays.
Because
even when I did feel I'd had a bad week, the results were still coming in.
And speaking of misconceptions, like a lot of people think that we have to be perfect. Yeah, it's like, well, if I can't nail it 100% of the time, then what's the point? Yeah, and we always get that that perfection like paralysis where it's like, you know, if even when you went away for Easter and you know, and I'm pretty sure you're instructing, you know, what we talked about was enjoy a couple of eggs, but make sure that, you know, if you want to progress this week, that you don't let Easter kind of bleed out into Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, where it's like, you know, focus on your meals, have good proper meals, which will mean that you're not hungry, which will mean that you have more control over the eggs. And you came back that week and it dropped like another, you know, another kilo or another 800 grams.
Yeah, that's right. Like,
yeah, it was just more and more evidence. And then it was you building more and more confidence in your ability to execute despite things not being 100%.
Yeah. and not having as much control when we're away as well, but it worked. And I, and the like, that's the thing over the last few months, I haven't denied myself my favorite thing, which is dark chocolate. Like that's, you know, and over Easter as well. And I'll never forget, it was a few, it must have been a few months ago, but I dropped a little bit of weight by then. And my sister's like, okay, what have you cut out? Is it carbs? Yeah. Is it sugar? And I was like, nothing. I'm loving my carbs. I'm loving my dark chocolate. You know,
like, what sort of and, sorcery is this?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because she's just like, no, you must be cutting something out of your diet. And I was like, no, I'm actually enjoying probably my meals even more. So
I would agree with that, actually. Like ever since, like I would definitely say that, you know, Danny and myself, like we get some kind of sick satisfaction out of like meals that we like the ingredients and we like the food, but that aren't kind of flying in the face of our overall health goals, or like they're not going to, it's not a step back if we, you know, like as opposed to something like a huge plate of fish and chips, which is absolutely fine and I'll enjoy it in the moment and our kids love it, but I don't enjoy it as much as we enjoy cooking a barbecue, where it's like I can still have some good sources of protein with some chicken and some nice potatoes and a salad. And it's like when everything's kind of streamlined, as you say, it's like, well, I'm enjoying my food more because I don't feel guilty, like it's not serving me well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like, it was kind of less guilt as well. And
yeah, I don't want to feel like anytime I have my favorite foods that it's like, oh, and now, you know, and well, I guess I better go to the gym tomorrow. Oh, you know, well, I better go for a run. It's like we're breaking free of that reliance on, you know, perfect ingredients or a meal plan PDF just by literally having a few chats about, you know, this is protein, this is why it's important, and here's some sources and here's roughly how much you should have on a plate. And it's like it's all quite simple once it's been explained, but you know, you do have to invest the time and energy into not only doing a little bit of your own research and maybe adjusting a couple of family recipes, but also, you know, as you said, probably the hardest week was that first week of just making the changes.
Yeah, exactly. And breaking that habit of snacking a lot, you know.
Yeah.
And that was the other thing, the food diary helped, because it was when you looked at the first week, you were like, whoa, because I was honest and I did put all the I was a bit like, oh my God, how honest should I be? But I was honest.
Yeah. And it's, you know, when it's there in front of you, like we always think that, like it's the human condition to think that we're above average, right? It's like, ah, you know, I'm a little bit above average in this. Oh, yeah, I eat pretty well. And it's like, well, we can't all eat pretty well because that doesn't really balance on the balance, you know, of like probabilities. But I know as a coach, and there's heaps of stats and studies on this, is that like most people tend to consume 40% more than they think they do.
Wow. And so, I believe that. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Because like we remember that we had eggs on toast for breakfast, but not that we finished half of the kids' breakfast as well. And then ate a little snack while we were packing their lunch boxes. And, you know, and then at lunchtime, I was, you know, like I had my Tupperware at the office with some rice and chicken, but it was also Rani's birthday and we had cupcakes. And it's like we don't really remember that stuff. And then at, you know, tea time, it's all, while I was waiting for the pasta to cook for the kids, I had out the corn chips and the hummus.
Yes.
You know, like just things like that that build up over the course of the day. And if we're talking calorically, it's like, well, there's your 200, 300, 400 calories over the course of the day. And that's the difference between a day of progression and a day of maintaining.
Yeah.
And I'm big on giving you the keys. It's like, so here's what's happening. Here's the car keys. You drive it in any direction you want to go. Because then it's like, okay, well, actually I am in a little bit more control and I don't need to have avocado on toast out of a cookbook every morning, or I don't need to get a PDF of the best fat loss diet or anything like that. Is I can be in control of my ingredients, know my portions, and then execute from there.
Yeah, exactly. And that was, I think, you know, knowing once I started seeing the results as well, knowing that, okay, I've had a bit of, you know, we went out for dinner one night. I remember we went to the Sri Lankan buffet place in Westgarth, and I literally rolled home. It was all so delicious, and I and then but that you know it wasn't one meal's not gonna break it, and that's what I think the measurements really helped to go right. I'm doing this well 95% of the time. So it's fine to have slip up, and I guess that's what your coaching also did, is just empower me to make these decisions and learn. It's been good.
It's good. Like, it's all about sustainability. Like, whenever anyone starts, they're in that kind of like heightened motivational state, you know, where it's like, I'm into it, I'm doing it, you know, like ready to go. And then as a result, we tend to think, you know, like we'll kind of not over try, but we'll deliver a little bit more effort, you know, next Tuesday than we maybe like would have the past Tuesday. And that's okay. Like, we're invested in the process, but we can't be overly invested to the point where it's like, okay, well, I am going to go to a restaurant again. You know, I am going to have, you know, fish and chips again, or pizza again, or ice cream again. It's more about, okay, you know, what kind of impact will that have, if any? And the reality is, once you take care of your, like, your overall routine, and we spoke a lot about the, like, meal ratio, right? It was like 21 meals in a week. If 16 of them are pretty good, then, you know, meals 17 to 21 aren't going to make that much of a difference. And then if you want to tighten the screws a little bit, then if 18 are pretty good, then you will, like, guaranteed progress.
Yeah. And that's where, you know, the long-term changes come into play, because it's sustainable. Yeah. You know, like, it's not fasting, doing, I don't know the name of this, you know, the 5-2 or whatever, you know, none of this is actually long-term sustainability.
Yeah.
To having a healthy diet, because you do have that allowance to, you know, eat. Yeah,
to be flexible with ingredients. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. So it's like,
yeah, I mean, the control is so big, I think. Like, there's no fluke here. It's just executing basic nutrition principles and finding a way to make it work for you. You know, like, I'm sure that Alex is probably over you asking him about, oh, is there protein in this and stuff like that, and having a look at the menu. But, like, the more you do it, the easier it gets.
Yeah, and it had, like, that's the thing. I used to, because the kids and Alex eat meat and then I don't, so often I'd cook them dinner and then I'd just put whatever on for me, like, just the most basic, you know, pasta and something. Whereas now I just put so much more thought into my, you know, like, I don't just push aside what I'm doing and make, and because they do, like, we eat the same meals often, but at the same, in. Yeah, I've just totally changed things up so that I am actually prioritizing my own protein and things like that.
Yeah.
And it's not hard anymore, because I make sure I've got it in the fridge and in the cupboards ready to go as well. Like, the shopping, I just needed to put a bit more thought into it all. And once you do, you know, and with your guidance and tips as well, then it just all fell into place.
Yeah, I think you touched on something then that a lot of people could relate to, and that is the, you know, like, cooking meals for everyone else and then just kind of giving yourself what's left over.
Yes, yeah.
Like,
and then not eating properly and then
just being like, oh, well, you know, my family's the most important. And it's like, yes, that is the case, but it doesn't have to be one or the other. You know, it's not like we need to completely turn it around and cook everyone three meals, because it's completely unsustainable.
Yeah,
it's just about directing that effort into something that works for the family and will work for you for a long enough time where you can actually see the results that you're hoping for.
Yes, and that's the thing. I think unfortunately, I've learned it only by my third child, that prioritizing myself actually benefits everyone. It's taken me a little while.
Better late than never, Rani.
Yeah, exactly. And so it is, you know, prioritizing myself has helped in this process, and they're, you know, they're not losing out on anything because I've done this. So it's kind of like, oh, should have tried this a bit earlier.
Yeah, for sure. But everyone gets there in their own way, don't worry.
Exactly. But yeah, it's been good. And that, I think what helped with the program as well, is that you just kind of, in your own way, gave little nudges, but you didn't kind of spoon feed me, in like you didn't kind of give me a menu plan, because then I would have just been following that, whereas I actually had to think about it myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that made a huge difference too.
I was remembering, you know, like all the things we spoke about, and then, you know, there is nuance to each individual person's lifestyle that can't be replicated across the board. But, you know, there's also things that tend to be consistent across a lot of the clients I coach. And the, you know, and the first one is that the mum typically does most of the cooking. And with that comes the fact that it's like we tend to have those meals on rotation where it's like, well, without even realizing it, you're probably in a bit of a routine where it's like Monday we tend to have pasta, Tuesday we tend to have wraps, you know, like whatever it is. And there's always a carbohydrate present. And like, that's okay. But it's like, okay, well, if I were to write down our 5 to 10 most common family meals, it's like, okay, well, I could substitute this mince for a leaner mince, you know. And that's the sort of thought that we put into it, was just, okay, what's a couple of ways we could just tweak the overall composition of this meal to have a little bit more protein, a little bit less carb, and then it's just on autopilot.
Yeah. You know,
we all eat the same stuff over and over. So if you slowly overhauled that stuff that you're eating just by, you know, 10, 20%, nothing crazy, then the results would feel easy, because we're not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. And then it's like, all right, Monday, here we come. I need to cook pasta. I need to cook myself this, because it's on the meal plan and all sorts of things. And that's when it just becomes too much.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, yeah. And that's why, because I remember talking to you going, it feels easy. And I felt like, it, you know.
Like you were cheating a little bit.
Yeah, I did, because it was like simplified. It was such, you know, when I look back, I'm like, gosh, it was so simple. Just have better quality protein meals and cut out snacks, you know. Yeah. And it's really, yeah. And I do remember you saying, oh, you'll only have 5 to 10 meals on rotation. I was like, no, I don't. And then as soon as I get the food diary, I'm like, oh, yes, I do.
Yeah, absolutely. Like most people who like have families and have jobs and a bit, yeah. And I know you're on mat leave at the moment, obviously, but you will be working again one day. It's like that stuff, it just starts to become autopilot. Like it's on lock, and and then you become a product of your systems, routines, all of that stuff. So if you just tweak your routines to be, you know, what's the routine of a healthy Rani, a healthy family, it's like easy.
Yes.
You start to come at it that way, and then you're not relying on willpower. You're not relying on your discipline every time you sit down. It's just, well, I've already got my meals. We're all ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what the 3 months working with you helped do as well. It just set everything in concrete. And in a way, it's kind of hard being at home a lot, because then you feel like there's probably, I don't know, I'm not doing as much. I'm just at the kitchen all the time. But at the same time, I know when I do go back to work, yeah, it'll be no second guessing. It'll just be like, I can do quick meals that are full of protein and healthy. So
you will probably actually find it easier. So there will be a couple of weeks where the nutrition will still be comfortable, like your execution will still be good, but it'll be logistically difficult, as in, you know, and we've spoken about this a little bit, where it's like, okay, on Tuesday nights we get home late because I pick the kids up, and by the time I get home at 6, I need to have something faster, because by the time we had it cooked, it was 7 o'clock and everyone was feral on it. You know, like it's more the execution of the plan than the plan itself.
Yeah.
So it'll be stuff like, okay, on a Sunday, can I do a bit of a spag bowl and have it ready to go and just take it out in the morning, and then all I need to do is heat up pasta.
Yeah.
It'll be stuff like that where the meals are already taken care of, and then it's just about making sure that each night kind of fits with the amount of time you have to cook.
Yeah. And it's the planning, you know, like because I was on mat leave, I was a bit like, oh, I don't need to plan the week's meals, you know, but then I actually have gone back to it because it makes such a difference.
It still makes it easier.
Yeah. It takes 5 minutes to just, you know, focus on and go, what do we need? What do we need to do? And it makes it so much easier during the week. Just,
Even, you know, like I've coached a few stay at home mums now, and it's like, even though you are home in the middle of the day, it's still easier that you've had your lunch packed from the night before, because odds are you've packed it at the end of a dinner, which means you're not hungry, which means that your portions are pretty well spot on, because it's not like, oh, I could use a couple of extra tablespoons of rice or whatever it is. Where it's like, every time you let yourself get a little bit hungry and then try and make a choice, it kind of saps away at the willpower a little bit. So just have the choice made.
Yes.
Yep. Roger that. Follow the plan. Simple as.
Exactly. Plan, plan, plan. And also, I think always, I know, always the days I've been to the gym, I eat that little bit healthier as well. Like, you just feel good.
Yeah. That's totally normal too. It's almost like that feeling of, I don't want to waste it. You know, like, I've made the effort. I've got, you know, I've got out of bed. I've done drop off. I've gone to the gym. I've worked hard. Like, I'm not going to have, you know, I'm not going to have a Mars bar. It's like, I want to have something that nourishes that output. And that's totally normal.
Yeah. And I used to have the mentality going, okay, if I go to the gym 2 times a week, I'm winning. You know, I can try for a third. And then I remember you saying, okay, Rani, it's time to start trying for 3. Yeah. And then I was like, yeah, I need to actually shift that goal. I'm not pregnant anymore. Once I also changed mentally, going, no, I do three times a week. So when I'm doing that meal planning on Sunday, I book my classes in for the week as well. And
That's actually funny you mentioned that. I reckon that, like, most of the time we'd have a chat and you would kind of like, you'd know what to do before I'd even told you. Like, it would be, you know, it would be a decision that we've made together, and you would tick that off as like, yeah, I can easily do that. I remember that time I was like, I reckon that was the only time ever where I was like, Rani, cut the shit. I reckon we can definitely do 3. Like, there's no reason you can't get here 3 times a week. And to your credit, you're like, yeah, no, I think you're right. I can definitely come.
Yeah, yeah. That was one of the last kind of pregnancy things I think I was holding on to, where I was just like, hey, I'm winning. I've come twice. And
yeah,
I needed that little push to go, no, I can do it.
So given the drastic transformation since February, and, you know, it's now definitely at the point where people are just like, you know, like, everyone's noticing in the gym now. It's like, what, you know, and obviously that's a nice feeling too. But what does the next, like, what are we, halfway through the year now? What does the next 6 months look like from a fitness and health perspective? Have your goals changed? Are they the same? Are you looking at more performance now? Like, where does your motivation kind of lie at the moment?
Yeah, I think definitely more, I want to get stronger and feel fitter, you know, like, feel fitter is, that's pretty generalized, but I really want to get back into running again. That's something I used to do a lot pre-kids.
Yeah.
And I've just never, you know, I've played with it a little bit since having kids, but I've never quite got there. And so that's definitely a big goal. It's interesting because now people are noticing a lot more the weight loss, but it's still, I'm still kind of absorbing it. You know, the other day when I put on some pants I haven't worn for ages and I kind of walked past a mirror and I felt like such an idiot, but I was like, had to do a double take because I was like, wow, I actually have lost this weight. And it's happened. And I think, the next 6 months, definitely more on focusing on the training side of things, because I do feel a lot more confident with the nutrition side.
And so, I think that's, that's always an important but sometimes challenging transition to make, where it's like, I've put this energy into my nutrition and I'm feeling good. I'm feeling like I'm in a bit of a flow. And there can be a little bit of a mental shift when it comes to not feeling a slight kind of pang of disappointment if we do your measurements and they've hovered the same. You know, it's because the goals change. So it's starting to get that same satisfaction out of, yesterday you did a block run, you know, just stuff like that. It's like, oh, okay, I can build off that, and your knee's starting to feel better and it's not so sore all the time, you know, and it's okay, well, I'm starting to do a 16 kilo kettlebell rather than a 12, and focusing that, you know, that same enjoyment that you get, you know, that you get out of centimeters dropped off the measurements now into, oh, awesome, starting to get stronger, starting to add more on my deadlifts and stuff like that. So it's not always as easy as that, because it, you know, there it can be a little bit of a shift, but when you start to see that same improvement in your fitness as you did with the nutrition and the results from that, you know, then it's exactly the same process really. It's just incremental gains and then making slight tweaks off that.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the last 4 months has given me confidence to go, I can actually do this as well. Like I didn't expect, I kind of kept going, oh, when, by the time Marcel's 12 months, like that was my kind of mark for it. Yeah. I'll be running, I'll do a block run by then, but it's all kind of happened quicker than I thought. Which is really nice. And then that's boosted my confidence as well, that I'm like, I can actually do this. You know,
yeah, it's awesome. Like,
you did need to kick me out the door to do this block run yesterday, but I did it.
Oh, so. Yeah. So funny story about the block run yesterday is you were like, oh, I'm a little bit flat, I'm a little bit tired. And then I was like, yeah, well, that's okay. But, you know, like, it's like you'll feel better once it's done. You know, it's only one. And, you know, like, I was thinking it more from like a proactive mindset, like, you know, like take control of the day, stop feeling sorry for yourself a little bit, you know, like, yeah. It's like, all right, I'm back in control, that sort of thing. Then you message me 2 hours later, you've got an ear infection. I'm like, Jesus, right? You could have told me that you actually felt sick. Like, it's like a big difference between sick and tired.
Yeah, well, I was feeling a bit not quite right, and I didn't, yeah. You know, and then, yeah, I was like, honestly, oh, I mentioned to the doctor, I was like, oh, my ear's been blocked, it's a bit annoying. And he's like, looked in, oh, you've got an ear infection. I thought, no wonder I was a bit off balance on one of the exercises too.
Yeah, honestly. Oh, well, we know better for now. Obviously, you're a hard ass and a bit of a tough.
I'm just hoping the block runs a lot easier next time.
Oh, well, I'm sure it will be now after a course of antibiotics and feeling better.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
What is the one thing, and we'll end with this, you know, before we're woken by crying babies, I'm sure, soon. What is the one thing that you think people could take away from what you've done and, like, easily apply it to what they're trying to do?
Oh, this is one of those questions where all afternoon I'll think of these amazing answers, but I'm on the spot now.
I could have told you yesterday. I should be like,
yeah. Why didn't you let me? I should have viewed these questions beforehand. I think it really is just remembering that it this is a simple process. There's, you know, you don't have to be overwhelmed by anything being complicated, because it's just, you know, keep to plan, simplify things, and it will all fall into place.
Yeah,
I've probably simplified it too much, maybe.
No, you're spot on. Like, I talk about it all the time, and I'm like, I feel like I need to do like a marketing course so I can like jazz it up a bit and make the language better. But it's always like drastic results like yours. Like, there's been no drastic action. Like, it's been steady steps implemented consistently. There's been no magic. There's been no kale shakes. There's been, you know, as you said, there's been no secrets. It's just been consistent measuring of progress and adjusting either your input, you know, as in the food you're eating, or your output, you know, like the steps you're doing and stuff like that. You know, actually, funny story on the steps, you've now adopted the take the hand off the pram so it counts your steps trick, which is actually hilarious. That just reminded me of that.
Yes, that's right.
There's nothing more depressing than having your hand on the pram and it not registering the steps. It's like,
you've not even gone
for a walk.
Exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, just understanding the variables that make a big change in regards to your body composition. And that is, you know, clearly sleep challenged at the moment, but it's, you know, it's trying to get the most amount of sleep you can. It's trying to be as active as you can, but not to the point where you can't recover. Yeah, and that's why we like to look at steps as opposed to just training every day. And then it's, you know, and then it's just controlling your input, which is your food, and that is the biggest one.
Yeah, it's, the food is definitely and when I was in my 20s and I used to just be like, oh, I just have to run every day. And
this blonde Rani. This is blonde Rani Maris.
Yeah, I was blonde at one point. Yes, this was awesome. Blonde running a lot every day and just eating and drinking a lot.
Yeah.
Because, but then I was like, oh, exercise, but it's actually not, it comes down to nutrition is a huge, like exercise of course is important, but yeah, nutrition plays such a massive role, especially with weight loss. So yeah.
Oh, for sure. And it's, you know, I think we obviously spoke about calories being a factor, but we never counted them. You know, we never like scanning barcodes or anything like that, but it was just having a rough idea of, you know, like you said earlier, these are my 5 to 10 meals, having a rough idea of how much you needed from that and then just adjusting. It was as simple as that.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I don't think I've calorie counted at all. There was a few times I'd just get curious and look on the label out of curiosity, but I haven't had to kind of, do too much maths, which is probably good in my sleep deprived state. But yeah. And that's why I was like, wow, this is actually, this works. And it's really simple.
For sure. And like with just the checking out stuff that's curious, isn't that just responsible? That's like, I use the almond croissant analogy all the time, right? Like we've spoken about that before, like the almond.
Oh yeah, I love that.
Nikos being like 1200 calories, me literally passing out. I'm just like, oh my God. It's nice, but I don't know if I'm ready to spend like half of my daily intake on a croissant. I'll be starving for the rest of the day. But it's just stuff like that. Like the more you know, the more educated you are, the more empowered you are to make a decision that you're comfortable with. And then you can live with the outcome either way.
Yeah.
You know, either happy with the outcome of progression, or you're not going to beat yourself up if you haven't, because it's like, no, I made that choice, so I will live with the consequences, basically.
Yeah. But I must say, I go by your mantra a bit, what you said around Easter, like one hot day doesn't make a summer. And it was like, so whenever I'm, you know, having a bit of a chocolate feast, I'm one just like, it's okay. Make a
summer.
Yeah.
No, it's a ripper. You know, I'm full of those. I've got heaps of them. That's fine. Rani, I will let you go. Is there anything else you'd like to finish with?
No, I think I'm all good. Thanks so much.
Shared it all? No, absolute pleasure. Look forward to seeing you kick some running goals over the next 6 months, maybe get you up to like a nice 5 or 10K.
Oh, wow. That sounds good. Thank you.
See ya.
See ya.